Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, Senior Analyst with The Wall Street Reporter, and joining us today is Tony Mayer, CEO and Chair of Wimbill Dan Foods OJSC. And Wimbill Dan Foods is a New York Stock Exchange company. The ticker symbol is WBD, and the company is a Russian manufacturer of dairy and juice products. Thanks for joining us today, Tony.
Hi, Juan.
Great. Start off by talking to us about the sales increase, which was particularly strong.
Well, I think we've been doing pretty well for the last number of years, generally, across the entire businesses. Actually, we're also the largest baby food company in Russia, something that we really were a very small player in, and 3 years ago, when we've gone from being number six player to now number one. And in this market, we've got the usual international players like Nestlé and Numico, which is now Danone. I think really what differentiates us as a dairy company, in particular, if you compare it to other peers globally, is that we're not just in traditional dairy; we're also in yogurts and desserts and all the value-added areas. And also what differentiates us, I believe, is that we're a heavily branded business, and that's quite unusual for mainstream dairy companies globally, which, you know, grew up really as a route to market for farmers as opposed to really FMCG-type mentality companies. I think the other thing that helped us the last number of years has been the huge growth in consumer disposable incomes in Russia and across former CIS, former Soviet Union, Russia. You know, we're also in the Ukraine, which is 45 million people in Central Asia, and so on. So it's a pretty large platform of about 280 million people. I think clearly, you know, 2009 is a little bit different to maybe 2006, 7, and 8, with the global crisis that we see, which has affected consumer demand globally and not just in Russia, in fact, only laterally in Russia. We're expecting some slowdown as we go forward. But I think the what we're seeing in the last couple of months, baby food continues to be very strong as it's ever been. Dairy slightly down versus prior year, but nonetheless is still very strong. And juice business actually in positive territory, which, you know, you would expect given that is probably the most discretionary of our businesses, would be even more affected by a consumer slowdown. But actually, we're seeing positive growth there in the first couple of months of this year. So it's a mixture of things. We're in strong categories, which is a positive thing. Daily consumption categories, which is also positive, and very heavily branded, which I think is an additional strength of our company.
Great. And talk a little bit about some of the continue talking about some of the trends in the market and how well positioned the company is to capitalize on these trends.
Well, I think right now it's difficult to be predictive. I think not only in Russia, but I think globally, and we all know how wrong usually predictions are in today's environment. But I think there's a number of things that put Russia still apart. First and foremost, consumption levels here are, relatively speaking, on almost every category, not just our categories, but in particular ours, are low. The second thing is that disposable, you know, incomes themselves, per capita incomes, are low. The average income in Russia right now is about $500 to $600 per person per month. And that's, you know, by any Western standards, extremely low. So you can only expect those to go up. Now, what we're seeing is, if you look at the last couple of years, for example, baby food, which is growing as a category, but we in particular are growing faster, is really as a result of increased disposable incomes, which has led to parents moving from home-prepared baby food, which was done as a result of low incomes historically, into, you know, the branded sector of purees and formulas and so on, which really in the Soviet days, for example, they didn't really have. So I think there's an underlying change in habits regarding, you know, that whole category, which, as I said, in historically wasn't commercial. I think another interesting phenomenon of that is that historically, mothers, when they had babies in the Soviet days and even post-Soviet era, would have had 2 to 3 years off work and then come back. you know, Russia has changed dramatically, and what we're seeing now is, you know, the mothers are tending to come back to work much earlier, not only for financial reasons, but also for career reasons. And typically, this also leads to a need for convenience, which has driven a lot of that sector. In the case of dairy, as I said earlier, we're not just in traditional dairy with milk and cheese and so on. We're also in yogurts and desserts, and we're the leader in yogurts and desserts. What we're seeing there, I think the category is definitely slowing down, but we actually are gaining market share in that area. Our main competitor there is Danone, which is, you know, globally the biggest player in that sector.
Correct.
But, you know, I think there we feel we're able to probably have a bit of an edge in Danone, given that we're a local company and we would think and believe that we've got just that little bit closer to the operation. You know, this is our head office. We don't have to go to any place else to make decisions, and I think that probably is a little bit of a help to us.
So, yeah, what else? Yeah. Differentiates you from other players in your sector, such as Danone?
We've got many players. If you go to our juice business, the juice market was entirely Russian-dominated companies up to recently, and then about 4 years ago, the first one got bought out by Coca-Cola, a company called Multon. Then the second one got bought out by a private equity company called Nidan, and the third one got bought out by Pepsi just last year. So it's gone from being a completely Russian-based business to three foreign players and us. We're the third player, but very close to being the second one. I think, again, if I can examine why these companies were successful in the first place, I think a lot of it had to do with being close to the market, quick decision-making, and not too much hierarchy and so on. I think this is one of the reasons our juice business, actually, we've been gaining share the last 12 to 18 months, and also, interestingly, gaining profitability. So I think being close to the market is important, and that's, I think also, you know, while we are a Russian company, albeit with about half our equity is non-Russian, it's U.S. and funds through Wall Street and indeed through the Moscow Stock Exchange and also U.K. funds. We have a blend of international management and Russian management, which also has probably been instrumental in turning the company around the last 3 years, because we think we've got an advantage in terms of fast decision-making, but also we wanted to bring some of the Western discipline to management discipline into the company, which I think we've done, and maybe not in full yet, but certainly we're on a good track there, to bring in things like productivity measures, key business indicators, and so on. And that's also, it's the blend of the two, I think, that maybe gives us a strength that helps us to compete with many competitors across various categories.
And perhaps you can walk us through your background and experience, as well as that of some of your key management team.
Sure, Juan. I was 30 years with the Coca-Cola system. I was with the second biggest bottler in the world, a company called Coca-Cola Hellenic, and I spent a long time with them, and very happily with them, I have to say. I was managing quite a lot of their business when I left. I was responsible for countries like Russia, but also Ireland, Italy, Austria, Greece, and so on. So I had a very large, about 60% of their business. I started the business in Russia for that company way back in 1994. And, you know, got it started off. And then as I got promoted, and I held responsibility for that business. So there's a large learning curve in Russia. And I think, you know, I being around that for a long time helped me, but also helped the company to gain strong position and indeed market leadership against the key international competitor at the time, which is Pepsi. So I was with that company for a long time. I started off in sales and distribution and ended up in general management. I think... of course, we have a beverage business here in juices, but you know, the key skill I bring along to that business is really around building strong teams of people and making sure we turn around where necessary and grow where opportunistically is where the opportunities are. In that respect, we have strengthened the team on the last couple of years. We've brought some people in from the outside. two of them which are expats. The rest are Russians, but and that both are important actually. The person who now runs the foods division, which is our dairy and baby food business, is also an ex-Coca-Cola guy in his early 40s. Has a strong background in sales and distribution, but also in Russia and Ukraine and that geography. And then the other person is ex-Procter & Gamble, whose strong marketing background, was our VP of marketing for a while, actually was instrumental in turning around the baby food business as well, and is now in charge of beverages. But it's not just about foreigners at all. In fact, far from it. I think we had strong people to begin with, but we also supplemented that team with strong Russian managers who came also from other Western companies. I think they got, in those Western companies, strong training, and but they did find themselves career capped a little bit because, you know, any foreign company with a business in Russia, it's a branch of a foreign company, it's not the head office. So the decision-making at a certain level gets taken someplace else. And unless you want to go international, i.e. leave Russia and go someplace else, sometimes to the U.S. and sometimes to, you know, Europe, depending on the company, you don't have, you know, you've got a cap on your career. And so we feel actually, and what we've seen over the last couple of years, is that the ability to recruit bright locals, management talent, well-trained and well-experienced from companies, Nestle, Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Kraft Foods, and many others, into our business is also quite positive for us, and also quite positive for them, I would say.
Well, great. And what specific objectives have you and management set for the company over the next and milestones over the next 12 months?
Well, like many other companies, we haven't given any guidance for 2009, given that certainly the level of uncertainty is definitely increased. But, you know, our intent is that, and maybe I should also say to you that unlike you see many things printed about Russian companies highly leveraged and shareholders highly leveraged and so on, we're not like that. We've got very little leverage. We've got less than 1x EBITDA, debt to EBITDA ratio. So we're a very comfortable debt position. So I think and in that respect, actually, we have been using some of the excess cash, because we've got quite a lot of excess cash, to buy back shares. We bought back at this stage in excess of 2% of the company because we felt our shares were such good value. You know, clearly, through this whatever length of time, this current recession, let's call it the last, our intention is to come out the other side of this period stronger than what we went in. And so the objectives we have is maintain or grow our margins, and we believe that's actually happening as we speak, but also grow our market share in all our business categories, and that's we'd see as a key win for us coming out the other side of however long this period is going to be. I think that they're the key objectives, I would say. And indeed, I would say also maintain a strong cash position, because while leverage in you know, for the past maybe 10 years has been seen as a strength, I think right now, being you know, free of the need for heavy borrowings is today seen as a strength, and that's been something, I guess, that we've been fortunate in coming into this position where we didn't need to take refinance debt and so on. We had our own funds to be able to do that.
Great. And talk a little bit about the company's growth. Are you going to be looking for M&A opportunities as a catalyst towards continued growth?
Well, we have been growing mainly really organically for the last couple of years. There has been some acquisition, mm-hmm. but not so much. I think in this landscape, if I look at the dairy business, there's not a lot to buy, to be honest. And I think the key thing there is really to continue doing what we do best and grow our business organically. If valuations come down quite a lot, then maybe something, you know, comes along that's worthwhile. But typically valuations in this market have been very high the last couple of years, and we found actually it not worth participating in the area of dairy. In the case of juice, well, I don't believe Pepsi or Coke are going to sell their businesses, so I don't see much acquisition opportunity there. So, and then you're into baby food, and there may be some things there, and there may be some other geographies as well that we can look at. But quite honestly, the reason we did the share buyback is we see the best acquisition that we could make for creating shareholder value at the moment was our own stock, and that was one of the reasons that we went and took that decision.
Great. And earlier in the month, the company achieved its ADR of WBD, achieved the target price of US 3501. Talk a little bit about this, and do you think investors understand the general direction that the company is headed in?
I think they do. I just completed a roadshow in London, Boston, and New York. And now I know most of the funds that I met and from prior roadshows. I think there's a lot more positiveness about Russia generally, and I think that, Russia has been on the back foot, I think, since really most of last year, and in particular since about August when started with the war with Georgia and so on, which really there was a negative investor sentiment and was one of the reasons we didn't do any roadshow towards the end of last year. We thought it was, for other reasons, a waste of our time and their time. I that's changed. Definitely a lot more positive sentiment towards Russia as an opportunity, let's call it. And then from our side, I think certainly the strong message I get is that we're seen as a very good vehicle for investment by investors in Russia. We're a leading consumer stock, which they see is important. We enjoy very strong ratings on corporate governance. We don't have the debt issues of many other companies, not only Russian companies, but in particular, I guess, Russian companies. And I think that's one of the reasons. In fact, yesterday our stock closed at over $41. Now, of course, that's well down from where it was a year ago, but the world has changed also versus a year ago. So I think, if we keep doing what we do best, I think the market rewards us long term, and that's our view. The stock price will be the stock price. It's, I can only determine what that's going to be by hard work and good results, and also I think a good open dialogue with investors and analysts, which we're also noted for, and I think that's also important.
Great. And once again, joining us today is Tony Mayer, CEO and Chair of Wimbill Dan Foods, OJSC, New York Stock Exchange Company, ticker symbol WBD. As I mentioned earlier, trading slightly north of $41 a share. Once again, the company is a Russian manufacturer of dairy, juice, and baby food products. And before we conclude, Tony, excuse me, what are some of the key reasons why investors should consider the company as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, I obviously different investors, one, have different, objectives and different ideas about valuations and so on. So I can only speak really not in direct terms as to why people should invest, but really I think when I look at our business, we are sitting in very strong positions in three very key categories in everyday consumer lives: juices, which are seen as a good health and wellness area of beverages, dairy, which is right across the entire portfolio of dairy from value added right into daily products, milk and cream and so on, and also of course baby food, which is and we're leaders in two of those three categories. And also we're 280 million people. It's a population, when you look at Central Asia and Russia and Ukraine, a population bigger than the United States, and all with very low incomes, but ultimately incomes that will grow. So I think in putting all that together, I think Russia and this geography over time has to be a very strong opportunity from a consumer standpoint. But, we don't manage the business for the next quarter. We manage the business for the long term. And I think, this is where I say it depends on people's view as to what they're looking for. If they're looking for a quick return, sometimes you get that from stocks like ours, and sometimes you don't, because as I said, we're not a company that manages with a view to returning maximum value in the next 3 months. We want to do it for the next 30 years.
Well, that's certainly a good answer, and we do look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and in upcoming events.
Thanks, Juan.
And I'd like to thank you for the update, Tony.
Thank you, too. Take care.